Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Well, welcome to Liquid, everybody. It is great to see you guys. I'm Pastor Kyra, and I am so glad that you are joining us today because we're closing out our prayer series, Moving Mountains. And I think we saved the best for last. I mean, there were three men and one Latina, and we bring sabor everywhere we go. Latinos, am I right? Come on, somebody. If you remember when we started this series, we had a big goal. You guys remember? We wanted to pray 100,000 prayers in 40 days. Well, today, I have big news, church. We didn't pray 100,000 prayers. Drum roll, please. We prayed 129,492 prayers. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. But guys, today, I want to encourage you to keep praying. Because I thought, wouldn't it be a shame, wouldn't it be a sin if we came to the end of our series and you came to the end of your prayers? Some of you by now have established a daily habit. You have begun the day on your knees. You're consecrating yourself and your prayer request, your life to the Lord. And praise God, we're actually starting to see some breakthroughs. In fact, our prayer requests are now starting to turn into praise reports. In fact, can I share a couple with you? I have one from my friend Carly. You know, she had been in the hospital for over 50 days. Nothing was working the way that it was supposed to. She had been in so much intense pain. The doctors were going to perform a surgery, but the outcome wasn't guaranteed. And so the doctors told her mom, "We can't promise you anything. We don't know what the outcome will be." Well, do you know, guys, what Carly's mom said to the doctor? "Well, you don't know my God." So she stood in faith, she declared God's promises, and praise God, Carly has been pain-free since the surgery. If you struggle with chronic pain, you know this is a huge breakthrough. I got another one from my friend Vin Dionisio from our Mountainside campus. He told me his family has been praying for Vin's dad to reconcile with his estranged siblings. Get this, guys, for 40 years. In fact, a few weeks ago, Vin's dad called him to let him know his brothers had reached out for the first time in 40 years. Guys, this is an answer to prayer 40 years in the making. How many of you know it is never too late for God to answer a prayer? Amen? So can I just encourage you? This last week, can we start hearing some of those praise reports? Don't just put in your prayer request. Let us know your praise reports too, because even though the series is over, our battle is not. And we are committed to continuing to storm the gates of hell. We're going to keep praying until we see the victory and the breakthrough is ours. Amen? Well, today I want to talk to you about an aspect of spiritual warfare that I think we can sometimes underestimate. And that is the power of prevailing prayer. Now, what do I mean by prevailing prayer? Well, I can tell you what I don't mean. It's not casual prayer, like saying grace before a meal. It's not a foxhole prayer, like when you only pray to God because you're in trouble or you're going through a crisis. It's not a fancy prayer where you use really fancy words. "Thou, Lord, we loveth you." Trying to impress some people. What I'm talking about with prevailing prayer is the kind of authentic cry from the heart of God's children. It's an insistent, consistent, "I'm not going to give up" prayer to your Abba in heaven who hears all. And above all, loves to answer the cries of his children. Can I tell you, it's the kind of prayer that I made to my Abba when our family moved to New Jersey. That's probably one of the biggest mountains that I've ever had to ask God to move on our family's behalf. If you're just catching up, I was born in Puerto Rico. My husband and I lived in Puerto Rico for over 30 years, but we decided we were going to move to the United States when our son Andy was born with Down syndrome. And because of our move, we put our home for sale. And I remember hosting an open house. And at the end of it, a couple came to talk to us after checking out our home. Only instead of making us an offer to buy our home, they told us they owned a home in New Jersey and actually proposed we swap houses. They would live in our house in Puerto Rico, and we would live in their house in New Jersey, and there would be no exchange of monies. And that is how we ended up swapping houses. Guys, they lived in Puerto Rico in our home, and we lived in Flanders, New Jersey in their home, and we paid a Puerto Rican mortgage. Praise Jesus. I'm pretty sure our family had the best deal of anyone living in New Jersey. But then in 2014, that family gave us notice that they would be moving back to the United States. So they told us we could keep living in their home, but we'd officially now have to start paying them rent, and now we'd also have the payment of our mortgage back home in Puerto Rico. So just like that, we found ourselves with two homes we were responsible to pay for, and we didn't have enough money for two mortgages. So what we did is what we can only do when we face a mountain that big. We started to pray that God would send a buyer for a home in Puerto Rico. And we prayed for a very long time. Man, we prayed, and nothing happened. Anybody ever been in that situation? You're facing a big battle, something you know you cannot do, but you know that God can. I know some of you are fighting to adopt a child. You're wrestling with the foster system. You've been praying for a breakthrough. You know you don't have the power to move bureaucracy, but God does. I know others of you are praying for the salvation of loved ones, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, open their hearts to God's love and meet and know Jesus as their Savior. Still others of you are battling health issues. You're asking for heaven's healing hand on your life. You can't do it, but you know that God can. And you've been praying, and you've been praying, and praying, and praying, and nothing happens. Have you ever had that happen to you? Guys, I relate it so much to what Pastor Tim shared 2 weeks ago. You know, you're walking around, you're praying, but you don't see a brick fall from the wall. But you keep piling up those prayers and those bowls that Pastor Todd talked about last week, that's for sure. You pray and you pray, but nothing happens. How many of you know that what is happening in the physical realm, what we're praying for in this physical world, is also being fought out in the spiritual realm? In other words, there is a spiritual reality to every battle that you fight here on earth. And I want to encourage you today with this powerful scripture that just popped off the page for me in Exodus 17 this week. Because this is a story of spiritual warfare and breakthrough victory. It's a story about waging war in the power of the Spirit, praying with the power of heaven behind you and prevailing against the enemy in all of the battles that you face. So let's look at God's word. Exodus 17, starting verse 8. Here we go. The Amalekites came, and they attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Now let me give you a little background. The Amalekites, probably one of the most violent and vicious tribes in the ancient world. These guys killed women and children for sport. All right, they're like Hamas. Very wicked people. On the other hand, we have God's people, the Israelites, who are not a military people. They had no weapons. In fact, at this very moment, they have just been liberated from 400 years of slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh. Jericho, what Pastor Tim preached about 2 weeks ago, hasn't even happened yet. This is the prequel to that victory. And in this moment, they're stuck in the middle of the desert. They are lost without a compass. They are sitting ducks because here come the Amalekites. They're going to attack, and it's not looking good. Moses, though, had a strategy. He says, "Joshua, you go down into the valley to fight. Meanwhile, I'm going to go to the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hands. And what does Moses do? Look at verse 10. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Now, funny story, all my life, I have read, my Bible's Puerto Rican, you guys know this, and all my life, I've read it as Moisés, Aarón, y Ur. There's no such thing as Hur in my Bible. So when I first heard this story in English, and the preacher kept going on and on about Aaron and Hur, I'm like, who's the Hur in this story? Does she have a name? Till I realized Hur was not a her, but a him. And well, I couldn't help thinking, I bet he had a horrible time explaining his name. Ba-dum-bum. Guys, don't be too harsh. I'm not the only immature person at church today, all right? In all seriousness, let me read this to you again. It says, Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Now, I want you to capture this. Whenever there's a battle in the valley, there needs to be a Moses on a mountain. It's what's called a prayer cover. Moses isn't just standing in the mountain like some detached general saying, good luck, Joshua. Instead, look at what he's doing. It says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. In other words, Moses held up his hands to the heavens. Everybody, hold up your hands. Keep them there until I tell you to put them down. What is this a picture of? Anybody? Prayer. This is a picture of intercession. Moses is raising his hands to the heavens, and he's asking, God, come help. We need your power in this battle. It's too much for us, and we need a breakthrough against the enemy. And God, he answers in an amazing way, because the Bible says that as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Now, you got to keep your hands raised. I didn't give you permission to lower them down, right? Everybody raise your hands and say, winning. Now, lower your hands and say, losing. Raise them up. Everybody say, winning. Lower them. Everybody say, losing. You guys get the idea, right? Now you may think, well, that's pretty easy. Because if all it took was raising my hands, I'd be winning all day. Well, not so fast. Because listen up, this battle went on all day. So let's see how long you can keep them up. Everybody raise your hands again. Come on, in every location too. Believe me, I see you all from here. I am a mother and I have supervision, all right? Guys, we are gonna see who went to the gym this week. Who skipped shoulder day? Because I know some of you have undeveloped deltoids like Pastor Tim, all right? So how long can you last? Are your arms getting tired? Keep them up, because we're gonna have a little competition, I guarantee. I'm gonna beat you. So I'm going to be like Moses. Look at what happens. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. Told you I was going to be like Moses. I'm going to sit like you. Anybody want to quit yet? Now picture this. Whenever Moses is praised with his hands raised, heaven opens up. God's people win the battle. Moses' hands start getting tired, and what does he do? He asks two friends to help him. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remain steady till sunset. And we get to see the outcome on verse 13. Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Now, where's my Aaron and Hur? You guys know Pastor Mike, our discipleship team, Pastor Denise, she's our Mountainside campus pastor. They're both prayer warriors in our church, and they're going to be my Aaron and my Hur today. And as we read, as long as Aaron and Hur kept Moses' hands raised in prayer, God's people were winning. Understand, this is a picture of what happens when the people of God go to battle together in prayer. There's something about the power of praying partners, something that happens when believers come together that wins the battle and brings the breakthrough. Cord of one strand is easy to snap, two harder to break, but a cord of three strands cannot be broken. Can we thank Pastor Mike and Pastor Denise? They're my Aaron and her today. You guys can go. I'm going to call you back again soon, though, so stand by. Guys, praying partners are powerful people. I'm not talking about people who believe in prayer, even people who preach about prayer. I'm talking about people who actually take time to prevail in prayer alongside you. Time that they don't have, time that they steal from other important things, but time that they take to go to battle in prayer on your behalf. These are the people that understand prayer is the key to victory. Remember, when Aaron and Hur kept Moses' hands raised in prayer, what happened? He prevailed. It was only when he lowered them that the enemy prevailed. And do you know, the same is true in our lives. That just like God has a plan for your life, the devil has a plan for you. He has a scheme, a strategy, a battle plan against you. More often than not, his plans are to discourage you from praying. In fact, someone once said to me, if you're not discouraged about something right now, you're probably in the minority. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but discouragement is that common. And it requires no definition because you know it when you feel it. At the same time, we often forget discouragement is an effective weapon that the devil uses. Understand, the devil doesn't need to get us to rebel or hate God. He only needs to distract us with discouragement. He hides behind the scenes, hoping we forget all about him and then wrongly take out all of our frustration on God instead. Truthfully, that's exactly what I did when I was praying for my house to sell in Puerto Rico and nothing was happening. You see, in the beginning, my husband Jose and I, man, we prayed together. Our faith was high. We were praying with conviction and faith. 1 month happened and 2 months and 3 months and nothing. My mom, who was there at the time, came to visit us and she said, guys, we need to show God we're serious about this. So she invited us to fast with her every Monday for the sale of our house for as long as it took. Now, if you're new, fasting is when you abstain from food for a period of time so that you can focus on prayer. And so we did. I remember we started to fast every Monday. We prayed. We asked God to bring the breakthrough, someone to buy our home, and nothing happened. 1 year of prayer went by, nada. Second year went by, and I felt like we got a body blow because not only did we not sell our home, the economy in Puerto Rico got worse and worse, and the real estate market plummeted. By the third year, there were rumors Puerto Rico would enter bankruptcy. Talk about another body blow. And guys, I lost all hope. Truthfully, my arms got tired. There were some weeks I gave up praying. What started out with fasting and prayer ended up with me taking out all of my frustrations out on God. I said, Lord, I believe you were the one who brought me to New Jersey. Jesus, only an act of your Holy Spirit could have arranged the miracle of the house swap that allowed us to come here. And now I'm serving in your church. Can't you do this one single thing for me? Can't you bring me a buyer that can take this house off our hands? My arms are tired. I've been praying for years. I'm so discouraged. Have you ever felt that way? Not only do you get tired from praying over the same thing every day without seeing the breakthrough, but sometimes you don't even know how to keep praying. I mean, what else is there to say? You've said it all. How can you keep praying? Guys, this is why it's spiritual warfare. Because when you're praying with the faith to prevail, the devil will come at you with a spirit of discouragement, a spirit of fatigue. It's too hard. It takes too long. It's not worth it. And this is exactly the moment when you need your prayer partners, spiritual spotters that can help sustain your burden. Guys, I am convinced that the reason the majority of Christians give up praying is because they pray alone. Understand, there is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. Christianity is a team sport because truthfully, the burdens that we bear are too much to carry alone. That's why God sends prayer partners into our lives. And Aaron, a Hur, to come alongside of us when the burden gets too great. We need someone that can hold our hands up when we get tired, when our faith gets weak, when our knees start to give in. And this idea of prayer partners, it is so powerful that in Matthew 18, Jesus himself made this promise to his followers. He said, "I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Read it with me, church. "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Guys, Jesus is making a distinction between the energy of a single prayer and the synergy of two or three people praying. In other words, you may have energy to pray alone. Oh, but when you pray with another believer, your prayer streams cross and the impact is multiplied. It's not single prayer energy, it's prayer synergy, the power of compounded prayer. In other words, when one Christian prays, she sets 100 to flight. But with two or three praying, you can rout an army. Because when two or three believers come together, oh, we got a quorum now. And we outvote the devil. And we agree for a miracle. It is the body of Jesus assembling for battle. And Jesus is saying, "I'm right in the middle of you." Isn't that encouraging to think? That right now in this church, we don't have two or three people. We don't have 20. We don't have 30. We don't have 300 or 3,000. Guys, we have 4,000 people praying for breakthrough. So there's power in this room. The Holy Spirit is in this room. This is what Moses understood. That's why he's the Bible's OG, the original gangsta prayer warrior. Not only did he rely on heaven's power to do for him what he knew he couldn't do, he also brought friends with him. Guys, this is the true secret to prevail in prayer. Remember, Moses didn't go up on the mountain alone. He had two partners, two friends. What does Exodus say? When Moses' arms got tired, Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Isn't that so beautiful? That Moses had friends that were literally lifting his hands in prayer. Because in the kingdom, prevailing prayer requires partners. Can I ask, got a prayer partner like that? Someone who can storm the gates of hell with you? Can I tell you who my praying partners are? I got three of them, and I love them a lot. My number one ride or die prayer partner is my husband, Jose. I think between the two of us, we've prayed over a million prayers in 20 years of marriage. Everything from our kids to our finances to our housing situation, our jobs, our move from out of the country. And men, can I just tell you, just pause for a minute. As a female pastor, let me tell you, there is nothing more tender than when a husband puts his arms on his wife and prays for her. I'm just saying, if you haven't prayed like that for your wife, do it. You can thank me later, all right? My other two prayer partners are my parents, Mommy, Papi, two people who introduced me to Jesus, taught me how to pray. To this day, they pray for me and my kids every single day, sometimes more than once a day. And when my faith was weak, when I felt discouraged because I'd been praying for years and nothing was happening. Nothing was happening with our home in Puerto Rico. It was only through my prayer partners, my husband Jose, my parents, that I was able to snap out of my discouragement. Because you know what they did? They rolled out a metaphorical stone for me to sit in when I was tired of praying. They held my arms and they helped me to pray. They let me borrow their faith because mine was gone. 5 years later, from the moment that we uttered our first prayer, after years of a sluggish economy and rumors of a bankruptcy and a house sitting on the market for years, our house in Puerto Rico sold. What is my point? That unless you have the kind of passionate, prevailing prayer life with God. You will not see the victory and you will not see heaven's power or blessings because everything God wants to do in your life is linked to prevailing prayer. Remember, Moses raised his hands. It's a sign of surrender. This is the key to victory. You first have to surrender to God. You have to admit, God, I have no power in this battle, but this fight ain't mine, it's yours. And then second, you surround yourself with people who can pray for you and with you, especially when you feel tired. So if you have a family, I want you to pray with your spouse and pray with your kids. Husbands, pray with your wives. It's your chance to be a spiritual leader. I know we can feel a little awkward at times, but couples that pray together, stay together. Moms, pray with your kids. Guys, nothing thrills me more than when I get a text from my 15-year-old daughter asking me to pray for her in between her classes, because God cares about every little thing in her life, and so do I. If you don't have a spouse, pray with your friends, or even better yet, pray with your small group. All of our small groups have been cranking up the prayer volume during this series. They're devoting extra time so that we can pray for each other. In fact, I was even reflecting this week at all the small groups that I've been in during the time that I've been here. Man, we have prayed through some serious battles. We have prayed through job losses, decisions for people to move. We've prayed over our kids. So I want you to understand, whatever you're praying for, you're not alone in this fight. Moses had Aaron and Hur, and they won the victory together. So get ready, church. Where's my Aaron and my Hur? Bring them back, because we're going to end this service by having an old-fashioned prayer meeting. I'm serious, church. Some of you, we're not going to preach on prayer. We're not going to just talk about it. We're going to pray for each other. And I know that scares some of you, but I believe this could be the most powerful moment of this entire service. So let's do something. Why don't we all stand up, Liquid Church, at all of our locations and church online, stand up, because here's how we're gonna do it. I want you to get in groups of three, like Moses, Aaron, and Hur, and I want you to raise your hands and pray for each other. Find two or three people around you, an Aaron or a Hur that's sitting next to you. I know some of you are feeling awkward already, all right? I hear it, I hear your thoughts. Too late. We locked our doors. No one goes home without being prayed for today, all right? It's a good spiritual stretch for some of you, and it's only going to be a minute. Guys, you can do anything for 1 minute. Don't worry if the person sitting next to you is a stranger or family here, right? And this is what the church is for. So we're going to put our hands on each other's shoulders, like Aaron and Hur. We're not going to give full body hugs, right? We're not going to be creepy. This is church. God is watching. Quickly share your first name and what you need prayer for. Maybe it's a doctor's appointment that you have on Tuesday. Maybe you have a really important test coming up that you need to prep for. Maybe you have a child and you're fighting for more support for them at school. One specific thing that you're believing God for and that you need victory in. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to partner with Pastor Denise and I'm going to ask her, what is one thing that you're praying for that you don't have a praise report yet?
I am praying for my brothers to develop an authentic relationship with Jesus.
Prayers of a loved one. Pastor Mike, can I ask you to pray for Pastor Denise?
Of course. Let's pray. Jesus, the Bible tells us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so I just want to pray for Denise right now and for her family, God. We know we have the greatest gift in knowing that you love us, that you came down to this earth for us, for our sins, and died and rose again. And so it hurts so much when we have loved ones in our family who don't have that same relationship with you. And so, God, I know how much Denise has been praying. I know how much she seeks you every day for her family to have that same authentic, real relationship where they call you Father, they call you Daddy, and they can go to you for anything. And so, Jesus, we pray right now knowing that you are pursuing them, that you love them more than Denise does, God, and that we already know that their story is going to be a testimony for your glory and for your will, Jesus. And so we thank you for what you've already done. So give Denise peace today, knowing, Jesus, that in her surrender to you, that you've already claimed that her brothers are going to know you. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. That was beautiful. And I just want to call out, the Lord loves your voice. You do not need to pray like Pastor Mike. You don't need to pray like me or Pastor Denise. Pray like you would pray. It's okay. Your father loves the sound of your voice. So As you can see, you don't need a lot of details, just one, two sentences. It should only take 30 seconds, and then pray for each other for 30 seconds. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to shake this place up with prayer. You can go ahead and pray. Guys, I just want to give everybody a 30-second warning that we are going to be wrapping up in about 30 seconds. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. Father, we thank you that you are collecting all of the prayers that are being raised up in this room right now. You're receiving them in your loving arms, and we're going to continue to pray, Lord. We're committed to pray for each other as long as it takes, Lord. We want to prevail in prayer, and we want to prevail in the victory that you have assured us is ours. We're going to pray until breakthrough comes, Lord, and we thank you that you have instilled in us through the power of praying partners faith that we can borrow, faith that can be built up, faith that can continue to persevere and prevail until we see the breakthrough. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.